Welcome to Hashtag Resiliency Speaks, where we have conversations from people from the UT community about resiliency and how our guests' toughest challenges become their greatest assets. This is Justin Carter. I am the current suicide prevention coordinator for the Longhorn Wellness Center. I came to you in the last episode as a different position in a different role. However, things have changed since our previous recording. One of those things that have changed is actually my co-host, who is Kelsey Lammy, is now moved on from UT. And so, unfortunately, she's not here to join us today as we originally hoped. But we still have an amazing podcast for you. What we're going to do in this style, actually, is we're going to record using me as your host, of course, but also using guest hosts. So folks that we interview throughout the podcast, like I mentioned before, we're going to have them on again as guest hosts or guest stars. So if you've ever seen Regis and Kelly, or if you've ever seen any talk show hosts where the host leaves and they have guest hosts on the show, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. So I'm super excited for that. I can tell you all that I promise you that I'm not going anywhere. It will be me in my beautiful voice, as you all love to hear, I'm sure. So with that being said, I did want to re-mention, I have transitioned into different roles. So I am now the suicide prevention coordinator for the Longhorn Wellness Center, which is a part of the Counseling Mental Health Center and University Health Services. And also along with that, I have some other news and some other roles that I have been a part of as well. So I'm now a new faculty member with the College of Natural Sciences, where I'm teaching an honor seminar on wellness called Wellness 101. Shout out to Sophia, who is my grad student. She is amazing. I'm also a student. I think I mentioned this before in the last podcast with the LBJ School here at UT as well. So without further ado, enough about me. I would love to introduce our guest that we have today, Zach Markheiser. He's going to introduce himself. Welcome, Zach, to being on the podcast.
Thank you, Justin. It's a time that I've been wanting to be on for such a long time. hi, everyone. My name is Zach Markheiser. My pronouns are he, they, and I am a case manager with Studio Emergency Services currently.
Awesome. Zach has been a long-term friend of mine, and also I would say, with this resiliency project that we've been building, or that I started, that Zach has really come on to the project and helped me tremendously grow this child, what we've been calling it, and co-parenting this child for the resiliency project. And what better way, or what better guest to get on the show than him himself? So I'm excited for him to be here. And we are all in for a treat, because we're going to talk all about Zach and all about resiliency and all those things that we have.
So, definitely.
Yeah. Cool. So, Zach, the first question I just have for you is this real basic question that I ask everybody. What does resiliency mean to you?
Yeah, I feel like a lot comes to mind just because of how long I've been doing work with resiliency and how often I practice self-awareness with my own resiliency. And I mean, there's a blanket understanding that it's about bouncing back from like things that knock you down or failures or things that kind of become speed bumps or hurdles for you. At the same time, I feel like it's such a greater expansive experience for each time you get to practice resilience. And I think it's definitely a practice of reflection when I notice I have a resiliency moment in my life versus something that I can very cognitively be aware of, I need to bounce back from this right now. Like I know I can do this. That's really easier said than done. But resiliency to me is about navigating those difficult moments in your life and choosing to do something different or to change something to better myself in those following consequential events.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it sounds like your definition is pretty pretty explained pretty well. It seems like you've had your experience, so you're share with fair share with resiliency.
I have, yes.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit more about some of those experiences. What is something that you had to be resilient about, maybe recently or something like that?
Oh, that's a good question. For recently, I would say a lot of it is navigating a new life somewhere. So I'm actually a recent UT grad back in August of 2020. So I definitely had to learn how to readjust to Austin, not being a native Austinite. However, I'm currently looking to relocating to a completely different state. So what does that look like for me to explore this new learning curve of new culture in a city, new ways of navigating housing and maybe future social groups, as well as just an entire new environment? And I would say work in progress, always.
as all things are.
And knowing that, like, for me, it's that I'm not going to, like, know everything all at one time. And I'm also, there's never, like, enough to learn. And that comes with my resiliency of knowing that I need to be adaptive and knowing how to truly navigate new spaces that I might not be familiar with, because I think navigating somewhere like Austin, coming from a smaller town in Texas, is different from looking at another city in another completely state.
Yeah, I hear that. Where are you from in Texas?
So most recently from Brenham. So anybody knows Blue Bell ice cream, that country.
Oh, is that where Blue Bell comes from?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We went to school with their, like, their great grandchildren's, basically.
Wow.
Yeah. We're really nice to get to know them, and they're great people.
Wow. This side note, I love Blue Bell. I've never had Blue Bell ever until I moved to Texas. And that was the things that people were telling me, like, you have to get Blue Bell ice cream. And it changed my life. It really did. It really changed my life.
I would say a little tidbit of, like, a little more about my childhood is I grew up in South Florida, born and raised in Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. And a month before to move to Texas and came on this big road trip to figure out where we wanted to move, Blue Bell just hit the shelves in our, like, grocery stores.
Wow.
Like, it never existed until, like, a month before. And then we go on spring break trip, explore Texas, because a family member just, like, recommended us to go there because we were already looking to relocate. Yeah. And out of everywhere we drove around, we stumbled across Brenham. And remember, like, oh, that's the back of the label, that, like, Blue Bell carton. I wonder, like, what it's like. So we spent the night there and we woke up. And mind you, it was spring break. So, like, Indian paintbrushes, blue bonnets, all these flowers are out. People are so kind. And when you wake up, it smells like cookies that morning.
Oh.
Because cookies are freshly made for the factory every morning.
Wow.
So the whole, like, downtown and, like, main areas are, like, smell like cookies. It's like a little slice of heaven on earth kind of thing. You know what I mean?
About to say, well, lucky to anyone who lives there.
Yes.
Like, seriously. That's awesome. Wow. I'm kind of jealous a little bit. How far is that from Austin?
Like an hour and a half east of here.
Hour and a half east?
Yeah.
I could drive an hour.
It's a day trip. I would say, like, go. There isn't that much to explore there. But it was nice to, like, live there and have access to drive to either Houston or Austin.
Uh-huh.
Those cities offer two different things. So, like, I just love being in the middle of them both. And then, you know, got to enjoy middle and high school there as well.
That's fair. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, you mentioned that you moved from, you said South Florida, right?
Yes.
And you moved to Texas.
Yes.
And so, like, you kind of already made a transition a little bit. So,
correct.
Like, how was that for you then?
Yeah, that had a lot of support from my family because it was a, like, household decision to move. And that was just kind of easier because I let my parents kind of navigate that whole relocation logistical portion of it. And I decided, like, what kind of backpacks I want to bring, what kind of toys, and, like, other kind of, like, personal items I wanted to bring. And this time I'm now an adult. I don't rely on my parents as much, and I'm doing this relocation more, I would say, alone or more independent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's navigating this whole thing that I'm a kind of aware of because I did it once, but I had, like, no logistical knowledge of it. But now it's, like, it's on me to do that. I do have them as support to, like, who do I call? Like, or what kind of companies are you familiar with? But, like, once I get there, like, I'm going somewhere where I don't know anybody else there. And that feels kind of exciting for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, that's pretty nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's got to be nerve-wracking. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I remember when I first moved to Austin, I didn't know anybody. Like, I knew I had a cousin that lived somewhere that I know now is Pflugerville. But at the time, I didn't know, like, them like that. You know, they were a family friend that came in and, like, hey, y'all, like, I haven't seen you in seven years. You look so big. Like, that type of family. And so I didn't really know anybody. And so I had to literally start from the ground up to build a community. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very challenging at first. Like, it was extremely hard. But, I mean, things ended up working out in the end. But I'm sure that's probably what you're going to experience, too.
Yeah. I think also, like, another thing to mention is whenever I moved from South Florida to Texas, I was still going to a structure of a school. Mm. And then moving from Brenham to Austin, I was going to a structure of a, like, higher education institution.
Right.
So I had that structure there. That was really helpful for navigating relationships, like social groups, and also just figuring out like what I want to do with like my free time kind of things. Mm-hmm. And now relocating, I am going for like a new job and a new like life environment because I missed the coastal climate. However, I would just want to explore more parts of the country kind of thing. So it's like that's like where the nervous comes in. Like, yeah. I won't have that structure.
Right.
I've kind of made it, I feel like very confident in my choice that I know I'll be able to create that structure for myself now versus needing to rely on like an institution or like a school.
Right. So. How do you plan on doing that? Like, how do you plan on creating that structure?
Yeah. So right now, depending on what my job is, because I am still currently job searching, I hope to create that one aspect of social group through work. But also, I have a lot of passions and hobbies regarding like being outdoors. So a lot of hiking in Austin has been a common way for me to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And I plan to do that also when I move to my new city. And then aside from that, definitely like one friend taught me something and I want to remember it so well. But like there's like an acronym that it's like it's like if you go to the same place repeatedly times and you do it at like the same time of day for like the same reasons, eventually you'll make a friend because repetition creates a pattern. And often if you see other people do the same pattern as you, that's a great like access point to making a new connection.
Huh.
Yes.
Wow. That's a little gem right there. You just yes. dropped for us. I appreciate that. Yeah. I guess I never really thought about that. I mean, spaces I've been in just consistently where I've seen the same people. I mean, it's even the same, like if you ride the bus or any type of public transportation, you get on the bus and you see the same five people, they're going to the same place literally every single
exactly.
morning.
Yes.
And then, you know, the little, oh, I don't really know this person turns into a nice little head nod, and that head nod turns into a goodbye when you get off the bus. And then eventually when you get back on the bus, they're saying, oh, hey, do you want to sit next to me? Like it's kind of interesting how that stuff happens. That's
exactly.
kind of cool. I just never really thought about that.
Yeah. And like also like going to parks. I love going to parks where there's like dogs, especially. So that's like a great way because like I love like bonding and like connecting with dogs, and what other person connected to that animal is their owner.
Yeah.
And that could be like a new friend or there's someone to help you like
True.
Give a suggestion to do in the city or a recommendation of some sort. Yeah. And I think like doing like here in Austin, going to Zilker is like my first thought that comes to mind. I made like a couple of friends just like they had dogs. They invited me next time they went to the park, and eventually they had dog friend owners mm-hmm. that we all created like this like cat what do they call it? Like a cascade of friendships. And that's like one way I made friends like in Austin that aren't just like UT students when I was a student.
Really?
So yeah, that's just like one way though.
Well, that's yeah. cool. Yeah. Dogs always bring in folks together. That's
yeah,
yeah. I have a dog at home. Well, you know, Zach.
Kudo.
Let me tell you something. Zach is an amazing person because he is the world's greatest dog sitter because he watches my dog Kudo for me from time to time. And Kudo loves him. So just saying, if Zach is still here while you're listening to this, hire him to watch your dog. Just saying. Just throwing it out there if you need somebody. But
I appreciate that.
Anyways. But this is awesome. And I love that we're talking about this because so much of resiliency is about connection and meeting people and not being in a place where you're feeling isolated, right? Or
right.
you're feeling alone. And I think it's really hard sometimes when you're facing resilience when you're moving to new spaces. And especially here on our college campus where you got students coming in from all walks of life and then all walks of places, right? And so they're coming into this space where they don't really know anybody, kind of like you and kind of like me. And then you have to figure out, okay, so how do I make friends? Like, how did this happen? When I was
right.
in the grade school, like, do I give somebody my graham cracker again? Like, how does this work? Like, I'm not really sure. So that's an excellent way to like really start to make those connections and to meet people. I mean, it's going to be a little challenging to get to dog parks if you don't have transportation.
Right. Right.
But
or like the need or like the confidence to be like extroverted and have that like personality.
Right. That
like,
is also true. Yeah.
Like, quality. I think that's something that I feel very like lucky to be having. Mm-hmm. And I do acknowledge that there is a difference in me. And I would say I actually make most friends that are introverted. And I'm like, they're like one person gets them out of the shell or like, I will go to the park. Do you want to come with me? And like that becomes like a regular outing of some sort. I would say, yeah, like learn to lean on other people's like strengths, mm-hmm. Especially if it's not like if you find yourself having like a hurdle with that sociably, I would say.
So what would you say to somebody who's introverted and trying to make friends or trying to make connections?
Well, one thing this pandemic has taught me is I'm actually more introverted than I thought.
Really?
I love to recharge alone, and I do recharge my best when I'm alone. Mm-hmm. Although I do also benefit from being with enough people at a certain time period as well. I don't want to like offer like suggestions to people who like might not have a similar experience as me. I would say as someone who does have friends who tend to be more introverted, know that when you're ready, you are capable of planning or to do that fun thing you want to do. And what I've learned so far is like the more the merrier often. I know that something can be overwhelming, but if you're in like a group setting, it takes some attention and focus off of you. And that is typically more helpful for my friends when I'm like, I know we might have like, we might all know each other and we might do something new. Let's make sure that we're all cool with this first and then we'll do it. But if it's like friends that don't really know each other and they both tend to be more introverted.
Right.
Keeping them informed that like, we're gonna do something that like we all want to do, not just like something that I want to do.
Let's do this thing because I want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And that being said, like, that's another opportunity for me to make a new friend to do that fun thing I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. That's how I view it, though. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I think that's great advice, too. I mean, I know you say you didn't want to give advice, but I think that's perfect advice for someone out there listening who needs to hear that. So that's great. Yeah, and I think the idea of, like, being in a space, even though you don't have to be the space, if that makes sense.
Correct.
So I think that helps a lot for someone who might not want to talk to everybody or might not want to be in the crowd or whatever.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, the best way that I have met people is just by going to things, is just by doing it and just by going out and going and just enjoying the time and the space. And that's how I've met so many people, by doing that.
Right.
And so, and I know it's challenging for some people. People don't want to go out and do those things. But, you know, if somebody invites you to something, I think that's a perfect opportunity for you to go out and do it. Even if it's like, I don't know, if you work at like Walgreens or something like that. Nothing against Walgreens, too, by the way. If you are a Walgreens listener,
it's my local pharmacy.
Nothing against Walgreens. It is also my local pharmacy as well. But what I was going to say is, if you're working at a place that might not have like your age demographic, right, or the folks that you would quote unquote consider your friends or whatever, like if they invite you to a holiday party or they invite you to something like, oh, we're going to dinner, whatever, because so-and-so is paying for it, I highly suggest going to those things, because not only do you get to build connection with that team that you might not have known that you've had before,
uh-huh.
but you also get to be in a new space and you might meet somebody through somebody else. So definitely take that word of advice.
Yeah. Can I offer another like suggestion?
Yes.
I would say also, if you're wanting to plan something with other people. So let's keep in mind, we are still facing some influences or impacts of the pandemic, and
absolutely.
Definitely in-person stuff isn't feeling comfortable for a lot of folks still. Doing online or virtual things or outdoor social distant things will be great. However, the recommendation I was going to offer was, try getting together people to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make a plan to do something. So all the attention of the group or the person you're with is on that thing, especially if you're not feeling comfortable just doing like one-on-one or like a small group setting. But if you're all doing something, so it could be like a game night. It can even be like watching a movie together, or y'all are creative. I believe in your minds. like definitely having an activity, to me, especially during the pandemic, has made me feel more comfortable like hanging out with people again, because I like went to this complete like shift of introvertedness. I'm like, I'm getting back out there. It's like, but I don't feel too safe yet.
Yeah.
But like, where's a happy like gray area that we can explore, though?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I think a lot of times we forget that we were in a whole panoramic, right?
Like it was just, pandemic is also how I've heard it.
Some people call it pandemic, panoramic, Yeah. I mean, there's a new variant out. And so people are calling that it's called the Omicron.
I believe that's variant. How pronounced. Yeah.
But some people are calling it the Omarion variant. So
he's an shame artist. On that.
So I
call it what it is, please.
I think that is hilarious that people are calling it that. But it is also a very serious thing. So
Correct. Please
take it very seriously, everyone out there. Wear your mask. Make sure you're social distancing. Because
getting tested regularly,
getting tested,
like doing your status updates.
Absolutely. Yeah, because that virus is still out there. So Just FYI about that. But let's talk a little bit more about your past experiences, though. So how does resiliency look different to you? How does it look different for you based to maybe some of your peers or something like that?
Yeah, so just now sitting with the initial question you asked me and follow up with this one, I would say an even greater, meaning like in weight and difficulty for me regarding resiliency has been actually my experience with my depression. I believe I have like a functional version of depression, which high function depression is a diagnosis that I've heard. So what that means for me is I can act and look like I'm doing really good and I'm feeling really good. I have my smile on often. But when I'm alone or even with I'm in a more private setting, I just feel completely drained. And I feel like I have so little energy to even like sit upright kind of thing. And I feel like that's something that sets me differently whenever I think about my personal experience with resilience regarding my peers, my friends, because I can feel so good at one point and enough times, but then there's so many like in between moments where I'm just like, I have a very negative thought or an intrusive thought, I would call it. And that would just kind of like hurtle into me being really sad and down. And this is something that like could last for like a couple months like it did recently. I would say last semester, so like spring semester of 2021, we had the winter storm that came through, and that had a major impact on our entire community. I would say even entire state. And on top of that, we're still going through a pandemic, so we're recovering, but we're also being brought down a lot on these a lot of serious topics regarding to our environment. And on top of that, I was personally going through some mental health concerns, and definitely my challenge with my depression came back. And I would say it happened in February. So like I would say in March, it just made it very difficult to do any daily tasks. However, I am quote unquote functional to at least do like my job. And I made it seem like I was capable of doing my job because I was. It's just a fact of like behind my like calls I had and my meetings I had, it was very much of like, I need to lay on the couch because if I sit up from the couch or go to my desk or get in my bed, I like won't, I would just be so drained. I don't know if you heard of the term like living with spoons.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that terminology? I would say it's more within like the people with disability conversation and with like mental health being in a type of invisible disability. I would say the days that I feel my worst, I have like maybe a spoon and a half that entire day, just waking up. And for me, I would say even like my depression usually affects me the most when I'm really tired or right when I wake up.
Right.
And if I'm waking up already really tired, regretting that day, it's a fun thing of like, fun being sarcastic. It's a fun thing of I wake up feeling so tired and feeling so down and having other symptoms of my depression. And then that evening, I go to bed really late because my anxiety is keeping me up that I have to start another day of this. And so it's this ongoing cycle. Mind you, this is just like probably Monday to Tuesday. Right. We think about Tuesday through the rest of the school year and the calendar year. So it's a lot. It's very like daunting for me to have to work with my depression as well as try to do my job and do my daily tasks to take care of myself and my living space. And Yeah. So anyway, so I was dealing with my symptoms of depression from like March to May, and then the summer came around, more sunshine. That helps me a lot. I'm from the Sunshine State. So like I am really aware of how sunny the days are sometimes.
Yeah.
And when they're not, I feel them. And I truly mean like I feel them internally. And so summer came around, I started feeling better. I had less symptoms of my depression. And I was like, okay, cool. This might just be like a 3 month or like a 2.5 month experience I had this time. And then come August, things started to pick up with classes again, and my role became more complicated. And what that meant for me is that I had a relapse of my depression. Mm-hmm. And that lasted until, honestly, last month. I would say early November is whenever I started feeling less in the depths of my despair.
Mm-hmm.
In my depression. And for context, for those of you who have, whether you've experienced depression or you know someone or you have no clue what depression feels like or looks like, here's what I depict to my therapist and my friends whenever I'm like, this is my depression. Think of a forest, a really deep forest setting where there's a bunch of trees. I think they're all red cedar ones. They're really tall. Oh, I mean, pine trees. They're okay. Really tall pine trees.
Okay.
And so there, I just see that. And then the days where it's the hardest, there's fog.
Hmm.
I'm afraid of something might happen. I don't know what that thing will be, but I'm afraid something might happen because I can't see anything.
Hmm.
And the environment already makes you feel like you want to get down. You want to like concave your body and kind of like feed into yourself. And the hardest part is getting to just sit with that and figure out other things you can do to help yourself in those moments. And I can get to that later if you like me to. But basically, those are like my hardest days. That like when there's so much fog, it feels like there's darkness because with all the tree coverage and how deep in the forest you are, it's just a lot of darkness. And I truly mean that as like not as evil, but as meaning like just uncertainty. And we all know uncertainty is one of our greatest fears as humans. I feel
right.
like just
yeah.
as thinkers, there's so much to think might happen instead of waiting to see what will really happen. And so this is all to say that throughout this relapse experience I had, I needed more support. I needed more help. I needed more professional help, especially.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally, and I say that because it's been a long like conversation with myself of medication management and getting on antidepressants and stuff like that. And I finally was able to speak with my therapist and got some referrals, and that eventually led me to seek my first psychiatry appointment and truly talk through all my fears I had with medication management. No one is called medication management professionally, not just like taking pills or like your
right.
antidepressant. And I would say since then, I've gotten a better understanding of what it means to live with my depression with more support. As well as it will be okay if I relapse again or if I have another experience, because I know my new avenues of support or new ways of helping myself, I would say. Yeah, that like went in a direction that I'm really like glad to share. But I'm curious about like what else from this that you asked originally do you want me to cover and like talk more about?
Well, I mean,
that was
pretty deep. And
yeah.
I appreciate your willingness to be vulnerable and talk about that. I think it's so hard for most people who do experience depression to talk about what it actually feels like and what it actually means to be depressed in some moments. And it looks so different for everybody. And so the way that you were able to convey and really explain exactly how you're feeling, it's a lot. Like it's
it
great
is.
For
I
one
understand that, yes.
And it's also I appreciate it personally because it makes me think like, wow, I feel like maybe I've been in a forest like that too sometimes. And I feel like there is a lot of fog out there and you don't know what's going to be happening.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people can resonate with that.
Yeah. I would say also, like, this is my experience with my depression. And mm-hmm. for some reason, it always ends up being a forest, which is really weird because I speak so somewhat, like, frank and, like, casual about this because I deal with this. I know what it's like.
Right.
I know the experience. But weirdly enough, that's also very comforting for me. Like, I would say even, like, my phone case, something I touch every day, it purposely has a forest or mountain scene on it because I know it best. It might not be my, like, favorite thoughts and memories, like, happen there, but it is still something that I can find some comfort in that don't know, grounds me. And that's like where it comes to like another way of help myself is finding things that ground me. So I can even go into that of like in the forest, sometimes you want to keep walking whenever the fog clears up because you can now can see what happens. And sometimes you hear like a town or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like what I think about is like one of my roommates from my undergrad experience was a like long distance hiker. And so he did the Appalachian Trail, which is the one from, I believe, like northern Georgia to Maine. And he did it in two parts. It's wild the way people can. Okay. Yeah.
Didn't know you could do all that.
Yeah. But. So, but like, I remember like him telling me his experience, and it's funny how I've adapted some of those experiences to be my own in relation to how I find more understanding with my depression.
Interesting.
And so, whenever I feel like I hear a town, and I get this like little part of joy, and it's, I learned it's called hope, because a part of depression is having hopelessness experiences of hopelessness, and yeah, that little bit of hope is so, and it's so liberating. I would say that for a fact. And that's something that isn't just a how do you say this? It's not just like one thing that gives you hope. It could be anything. That being said, another part of being depressed or having and being in a depressed mood or having depression is this feeling of loneliness. Mm-hmm. And therefore, connection is a very strong thing. And what exists in towns?
People,
yeah. Relationships.
People.
Yes. And the small towns can be truly one or two friends. It could be a stranger, like you're saying, like on a bus, or it could be like in your classroom or at work that someone just texts in with you. However, when I find those moments, and mind you, no one has control over what is going to feel good, because you can hang out with people and that could be even more draining. Let's understand that for sure. But the fact of there are other ways that you can surprisingly help yourself out. I say all these because these are so helpful for me in the times where I'm like, there's nothing's going to help me in this world. Nothing. Because I feel so bad.
Right.
And that nothingness, that's that intrusive thought that I was talking about that comes in. Uh-huh. And to give more imagery, because I'm a very like visual person, those intrusive thoughts are like mushrooms. I don't know if you know, but there's this one very unique mushroom that they pop up randomly in grounds, but realistically, under the ground, there's a network of them that crosses like miles.
Really?
Like, if you want to Google it, do it. It's a really cool and beautiful mushroom. But the fact is, I feel like when I'm in my forest, there's mushrooms everywhere. I'm trying to avoid them because they look cool because they want you to like check them out.
Right.
But realistically, sometimes they can be very poisonous. They can be very harmful. So it's like, you know, creating this imagery of like navigating through my forest and eventually make it back to civilization. And civilization to me is like back into my life, back into like what I'm really going through. I'm no longer feeling like I'm going through this routine of things. I'm more of, I have more purpose and understanding and hope that like I'm going to continue feeling better. I'm actually generally enjoying my time with people without other intrusive feelings or thoughts regarding my time with them. And yeah. Anyways, that is like, I would say like, that's my most recent experience with resiliency and having to ask for more help, which that's a hard thing. And I would say that even a hard thing raises a guy.
I was going to talk about that. Like, yes. How do you, you know, we talk about help seeking on this podcast and we talk about help seeking and really throughout the program and the project of the Resilient UT actually is what we're called now. So Resilient UT, I forgot to mention that. But yeah, we talked about help seeking a lot. And so I can't imagine like what help seeking might look for you. If you want to talk about that.
Yeah. I would say the way I've kind of been navigating it, it's there's professional help and support, and then there's everything else, basically. Because I, one good understanding I've had regarding therapy, because I've been seeing a therapist professionally for about like 2 years now, a little over 2 years. I've learned therapy is when you go to the appointment, but it's most often when you're not at the appointment. It's all the time in between you go. And that being said, it's okay if you go for like one time, a couple of times. If you go long-term like I am, not everyone needs it because it's only beneficial whenever you are ready to work with it and receive it. I'm gonna need to jog my memory. What did you ask me?
talk about help seeking.
Help seeking, yes. Yeah. So that being said is being very transparent with my therapist about what I'm needing, especially when I'm meeting with them and then referral wise. And then when it comes to if you're not seeing a therapist or seeing someone professionally, what does that look like still? Because you do still have access to help seeking. And so for me, that's, it's really breaking down this big, big, thick wall I have regarding telling someone I'm not okay. Hmm. And like, that is so easy to set in these couple seconds versus the entire 23 years I had of living.
That's real.
So it's definitely like, we have, me and my close friend group from high school, actually, we have like a monthly game night. And that is typically not always games. It's usually just check-ins and just random conversations to make us laugh, because we need that sometimes. A lot of times, I would say, for me. And it's choosing to lean into the vulnerability like I'm doing currently and saying that I have not been okay the last couple months. This entire year has felt really scary for me. And it has to do with my depression. And then over time, you know who to tell that to, how you can assume how they're going to respond. But more importantly, you know how that what's going to help you if you do need to tell someone that. I felt like I needed to tell my friend group that, like my closest friend group, because I knew they were the ones that made me feel good at least once a month or once in a while. Aside from that, I have my friends that I made through college, and they've actually relocated to other places. And I had to also tell them that, like, hey, can we just, like, I don't have to tell them, like, why, but I'd be like, hey, can we, like, call more often? And, like, intentionally call, like, every other week, maybe. Right. And, like, truly, like, make that, like, step of, like, can we just call? I just, like, need more, like, support. I just need to, like, talk to someone. And I say for me, something that I had to learn as well is asking people, I just need you to listen to me and not try to help me, or sorry, not try to like fix me or give me advice. I just need you to just talk to me. We can talk about anything.
Yeah.
Like your dog Kudo. We can talk about like literally like our favorite shows you watch. One thing I love doing as way of like sharing care with people is like giving them recommendations for movies and shows, because I'm such one thing I've learned to do with my depression is I can just sit here. I can also watch things while I sit here. So I love watching things. And so I have an ongoing list of things to always recommend and check out more. But yeah, it's definitely knowing when you're ready to ask for help. At the same time, because again, this is a very complex conversation I think we're tackling, it's okay to also disconnect from people. Hmm. And that took me a long time to realize, because I'm like, well, these experiences, no matter what kind of mental health experiences you have, they usually tend you to isolate, because you get so much in your head or so much in your body, I would say, that you can't really think outside of your body and your mind. So it's okay, I've learned, to just take time to yourself away from other people. Mm-hmm. As an extrovert, that's in a lot. Because I'm like, but I need them. I've always been told I need them. There's always like that like social pressure of like, or social understanding, like extroverts, like they gain energy from other people. They charge up with other people. And it's like, yes, and sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we really don't. And I say that might just be my experience with my depression, or that might just be something I'm learning about being extroverted and being myself and my body and what my needs are. Yeah, that I would say those are some ways I've like considered help seeking professionally and non-professionally. There's still help seeking options.
Yeah, that's real. And I love that you talked about that extroverted part, because I too call myself an extroverted person, and I do recharge from being around people, but oftentimes I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to sit here and look at the wall or look at something that has nothing to do with anybody. So, yeah, definitely. And I'm glad that we're naming that, too, because I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that thinks, oh, I'm an extroverted person. I have to be around people. Like, this is what's going to fill my cup.
Right.
And once they get out there and do it and realize that their cup isn't full, then like, well, what do I do now? You know?
Yeah.
So definitely something to think about for those extroverted people out there. So
absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, so we're running a little short on time.
Okay.
That's all right. But with that being said, I did want to know, what would you say to someone who is facing a challenging situation? Just maybe it's a student, or maybe it could be anybody in the UT community or outside the community, and they're just facing a challenging time, and maybe they just don't know what to do. What would you tell them?
One, breathe. Like the hardest thing, breathe. If you can't breathe, find something to ground yourself, then focus on breathing. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's literally finding a wall and the floor, meet them like as a seated position and enjoy that. And then next thing, focus on my breathing. One thing that I have learned recently at this age of my life is that most things that you feel are actually in your body. They're not just in your mind. So knowing how to take care of yourself and check in with yourself. And I say this because I feel like this is like the first step to really kind of disconnecting yourself with the thing that is so overwhelming for you, because that is completely real for you. And I will want to affirm that for you. At the same time, if you understand that you're not going to meet harm right now and you're just really stressed out or really exhausted from trying to go over this hurdle that you continue to face or have faced for the first time, taking a step aside, and that means grounding yourself, breathing, reassessing what's happening, and then seeing what you need next. You decide what's next. And I want to like kind of offer that autonomy to people, because I feel a lot of times, especially like through, I was saying like moving ahead, structure and stuff like that, like you have to keep going, go to next class, whatever. It's okay to ask for help. The thing is next is figuring out what the help looks like. And that's something you can do even when you're feeling okay about things. It's never too late, and it's never like a wrong time to see like what are options for help for yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for giving that great advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think help seeking, for one, is such a big deal and such a hard thing to do. And I mean, I myself struggle with it sometimes. And so I often have to remind myself that I'm also a person. Just because I talk about these things or do these things, practice these things, and I tell people, you know, this is what you need to do to take care of yourself, I have to remind myself that I also have to do these things to take care of myself. So awesome. Well, Zach, it's been so wonderful having you on. You have been a tremendous guest and, like I said, always a tremendous friend as well. So I'm glad that we able to have this conversation and have it as a recording, too. I feel like we have such great conversations anyway. Exactly. Now that we have it recorded, everybody can see what we be talking about.
Yes, you know, listen saying? To us.
This is this is great.
Let us fill your ears.
So Zach is going to be with us on our next episode. We're going to introduce Dr. Shauna Sobers. She does a lot of stuff with resiliency, and so I'm really excited to have her on to our next episode. But Zach will be my co-host for that.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited for that next week. One thing that we do here at the Hashtag Resiliency Speaks podcast, we often give a self-care shout out. Just wanted to remind folks that if you wanted to have a shout out, if you wanted to have something be read out loud here on the podcast about what you do for self-care, feel free to reach us. We actually are going to have a website come up pretty soon here. It should be up and running by the semester, spring 2022. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Right, yeah.
Spring 2022.
So excited.
And there will be a section where you can submit a self-care shout out. So you'll be able to do that there on the website. But today for self-care, Zach, do you have any self-care advice?
This is where I share my quote.
Okay.
Is this where I share my quote? I'm asking you.
You can share your quote, or okay. If you can, yeah, feel free to do whatever. I think, yeah, go ahead.
Self-care advice. Gotcha. Self-care, I would say I'm going to reiterate what I mentioned earlier is find that thing to ground yourself, to figure out what you need best to breathe, reassess what's happening if you're able, and then next step you decide on what that help seeking looks like. But I did want to share a quote that really stood out to me. It's one of my favorite podcasts, and one of the guests on there shared this thing regarding I would say resiliency, but I don't think they were aware they were truly talking about resiliency as a topic. But it's pain is changeful and change is painful. And that's something that I want to continue to, you know, share with others, because I feel like that opened up a lot of mental pathways for me to really like understand things I've gone through and how I can continue to, you know, take care of myself moving forward.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I love the quote. And you said who it's from. Who what podcast is it you're listening to?
It's some YouTube podcast I listen to. I don't really remember the name, but I think it's some comedian, their comedian podcast. Ali something okay. Was the person who said it. So cool. Maybe we can add it in later if we can find it. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we'll try to find it and then make sure we got it listed so you can listen to that podcast too. We're all about sharing. We're all about sharing, getting people connected and all those things. So, and I'm glad that you gave a quote because as you, I told you this earlier, but we actually end with a quote on all of our podcasts. So, and the quote that we're ending with today is something that actually kind of relates to what you were talking about. So, and I think it's pretty awesome. The quote says, "They say a person needs just three things to truly be happy in this world. Someone to love, something to do, and something to hope for." So there it is. And that quote is by, I will be very transparent, some random YouTuber who commented on a video that I was watching. And I said, wow, like, that is really powerful. So thank you, random YouTuber. And if you are out there listening to this podcast, please, I would love to have you on the show because obviously you have some knowledge about what it means to really be happy in this world. So that is all from us. That is our podcast for today. Like I said, next week we'll be introducing Dr. Shauna Sobers, who will be coming to us talking about her resiliency tree and all those other things. And Zach will be here with me again. So as just to close this out, my name is Justin Carter again, and I'm so excited to be here with Zach Markheiser. And we will be here next time. Thank you.